again, if you would turn in your Bible to John chapter 10, we're going to read starting at verse 22 on down to verse 30. And I will be reading from the New King James Version, starting at verse 22. And it reads, "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.'" May God bless the reading of his word. Verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And we just want to focus on this verse 27 from John chapter 10 for a short time this morning, using the message title, "Hearing His Voice." Hearing His Voice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. God, we thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your voice that speaks to us, Lord God, that calls us closer and closer to you. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. I pray, Lord God, that we hear your voice crystal clear, not just this day, but each and every day, Lord, and that we, as we go along this way, Lord, continue to know that we know that voice, that still small voice that speaks to us at all times, in all manner, but is indeed your voice. So God, we just thank you for that voice. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. There are so many voices that we can hear and listen to, but the Bible tells us that there is one voice above all, that voice that we must hear. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3 that a voice came from above and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But this was not the last time that voice was heard saying those same words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," because later in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And the Bible says that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light, and that at that moment Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. Now Peter was there, and he felt like he needed to say something. So Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. Let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying the same words said back at the Jordan River, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But it was a bit different this time around. First time at the Jordan River, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the second time on the mountain, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But the second time, the voice added two additional words at the end. "Hear him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And our hearing him and helping someone else to hear him is really what this gospel message is all about, getting men, women, boys, and girls to hear him. And once they have heard him, then they can obey him. Then they can follow him. Then they can have a life that is above and beyond. And that is why I cannot stress the importance of hearing and obeying Jesus. There is no special trick or gimmick involved in hearing him. Hearing him and hearing from him is not complex. It's just something that has to be genuinely desired and sought after. And once you grasp his love for you and how he wants to be involved in your life, you hear and you recognize his still, small voice. You will see his hand in your everyday dealings. At the end of the day, it is a matter of focusing instead on developing the kind of relationship with him that will empower you to know that you are hearing his voice and to know when you're hearing his voice. And that brings us to this passage of scripture here this morning in John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Here is Jesus. He's speaking to those that opposed him, and he's letting them know that he considers his followers as sheep that are following a shepherd. Now, if you know anything about the relationship of sheep to their shepherd, it is that the sheep develop a keen ability to recognize their shepherd's voice. And that is Jesus' expectation of us to hear his voice. And I won't be long this morning, but I just want to leave with you three key sources to hearing his voice. Now, there are other ways that you will hear his voice, but there are three key places, the three key sources from which you can hear his voice. And the first key place to hear his voice is through Scripture, the written word, the Bible. The primary way that Jesus speaks to us today is through his revealed written word. The Bible is not the only way we can hear his voice, but it is the primary way that we can hear his voice. The Bible, the written word, is the foundation, and it reigns supreme. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. 2 Timothy chapter 3 includes these words: "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we want to hear his voice, the Bible has to be the key place to which we should look. And nothing from any other source that is purporting to be the voice of Jesus can contradict the Bible. So much of his will for our lives is already revealed in its pages. It's simply a matter of reading it and letting it apply to our daily lives, day in and day out. Now, again, the Bible is not the only source, but it is the key source. Here's what Hebrews chapter 8 says, and it includes these words: "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law, my words, into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the last to the greatest of them." And what this is saying here is that once you have gotten to know his law, his words, his voice, when it is in your mind, God knows how to get them from your mind into your heart. And when they are in your heart, you will know the Lord and you will hear his voice. You will hear it when the preacher is preaching. You will hear it when the singer is singing. You will hear his voice. So yes, the first key place to hear his voice is through Scripture, the written word, the Bible. Now there's a second key place, and the second key place is to hearing his voice through prayer. Prayer is simply listening and talking to him. Believers can pray from their heart and in their own words. And real prayer, I've said this before, is not how eloquent you are, but it is about how genuine and how sincere you are. what prayer developed our relationship with him. Now, if you were to refuse to speak to your spouse and refuse to listen to anything your spouse has to say to you, you can be assured that your marriage relationship will quickly deteriorate. And it is the same way with prayer. We must listen and talk to him. That's what prayer is. Prayer helps us grow closer and closer to him. And when you have combined it with Bible reading, you are building your life on a rock that cannot be destroyed. So if you have not already, make quiet time every day a part of your daily routine. Make quiet time made up of Bible reading and prayer part of your daily routine, no matter what. Prayer. The second key place to hearing his voice is through prayer. And there is a third and final key voice. And as I said before, there are so many ways that you can hear his voice, but these are key places. But the third key place to hearing his voice is through praise and worship. When you are praising and worshiping him, there is no other room for any other voices. Praise means to express approval and thanksgiving. Praise is acknowledging his power, his authority, his wisdom, and his worthiness. And then worship goes beyond praise because it does include praise, but worship is an act of bowing down and honoring the Lord God. Worship means to prostrate yourself before him, acknowledging that compared to you, you are as nothing and that he is everything. Worship involves our bowing low before the Lord, not only physically, but in our hearts. And worship is also an act. For example, in our daily work, we serve others as a way of worshiping the Lord. Our very life should be an act of worship. And praise and worship go together. And praise and worship is for those who value his voice so much that they shut the whole world out to just get alone and to wait for him and to listen to him. And when you shut out the world and just focus on him, you will know his voice when you hear from him. Sometimes you just got to get away to hear him. His voice came to Moses when he was shut up alone with him. The word came to John the Baptist when he was shut up alone with him. The voice of God came to Joseph out in the desert of Haran when he was out alone with him. God would speak to Joshua when he would go out of the camp alone. The voice of God came to Paul when he was alone in the wilderness. It is those who value his voice so much that they shut the whole world out to get alone and wait for him. They are the ones who will know that voice and hear the voice. And you can do that through praise and worship. The third key place to hearing his voice is through praise and worship. And so as I move to my conclusion, all of this is done through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of his Spirit that you can seek Jesus through his word and you will know his voice because you have hidden his word in your heart. You will know that you know that you know when you hear something that does not sound right, that does not line up with what Jesus would say. It's by the power of his Spirit that when you pray that you will hear his voice. It's by the power of his Spirit that you will praise and worship him and you will know his voice and hear his voice. And so as I wrap up here, I like how verse 28 tells us what happens to those of us that are trying to get verse 27 right. Verse 28 says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And that's really, in essence, the gospel message, eternal life. Knowing and believing that the wages of sin is death, but thanking God that his gift to us is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That this eternal life is given to anyone who genuinely believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ died on their behalf and rose again. Knowing that you know that you know that you know that there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. and knowing that the same Jesus that ascended into heaven on a cloud will return in the same manner, and that those, whether they are living or dead, that have confessed Jesus will meet him in the air and will forever be with him in heaven for all eternity. This all belongs to each and every one of us that has placed importance on the voice of Jesus. But as important as it is to hear his voice, it's got to be something that you want to do. Because Jesus responds to willing hearts. The book of Revelation, we read where Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." It said that Jesus is a gentleman. He will never force you, but he waits for your willing response to his voice. And the question for you and I is, are you seeking to hear him? Because if you are, as it says there in verse 28, he will give you eternal life, and you shall never perish, and no one can ever snatch you out of his hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your voice that speaks to us. And God, we know, oh Heavenly Father, that you speak to us, Lord, in so many ways. You speak to us through the wind. You speak to us through the waves. You speak to us through the birds. You speak to us, Lord God, in our day-to-day lives. You, Lord, confirm what you've told us in so many different ways. You might allow us to flip by a channel, Lord God, and hear something that we need to do that you've told us before. So many ways, Lord God, that you speak to us. But we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your written word, that you have given us, Lord God, prayer, that you have given us, Lord God, praise and worship as key ways to hear you. And when the word is preached and when the word is sung and when, Lord God, we are able to get all of these other means of communication from you, we thank you, Lord God, that we can know your voice and recognize your voice and hear your voice and not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. So, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for that voice that we can hear. It's my prayer, Lord God, that we hear you and we hear you clearly each and every day and in every way that we can. God, I thank you for that voice that speaks to us, that voice that leads us from time to eternity. God, it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.